Thank you, Ms. Clark. What a blessing. Amen. Take your Bibles this morning and go to Isaiah. I am going to miss hearing that on a Sunday morning. Amen. Not very much so. And for all of you, just let them know how much you're going to miss them. Many of you may not know, but they are moving. And both of them, the Clarks, they are going to move up to a place called Maryland. Amen. And you may have known that before. And again, pray for them as they go. It's a rough thing for me. Amen. And we're going to miss her in the school and in here on our church as a member. And we're going to miss Justin and just the Clark family in general. And but she blesses us in song often. Amen. And I know she's blessed our lives, both of them. And they'll continue to be a blessing to their ministry and the churches as they go and move up there, up north. But I just wanted to make mention of that before. Isaiah chapter number 1 this morning. And I'll just let you know that America is my home. Amen. Just in case, you know, we're patriots here. I love our nation, but I do know that our nation is in a fix. I'll not ask for a raising of hands, but how many of you realize that America needs to turn back to God? We've lived in a day and age where we have had, you know, America, it's been said, and de Tocqueville has said in the past that America was great because America was good. And if America ever ceased to be good, she would cease to be great. And we live in a day and age where I do believe it's not just a two-party system that is messed up in our country or three parties or whatever party that you're a part of, it's the partying that has really caused us a bunch of trouble. And I'm not talking about politics. I'm just talking about a nation that used to fear God, used to go to church, used to reverence things that it no longer reverences. And today we live in America. Now, I want you to see in Isaiah chapter 1, and I'm going to read in just a moment, but I want to pray before we get started because I do feel like this morning it's a simple message from the Word of God. But God, we see here in Isaiah was a prophet that God called to project or to prophesy problems that would come that had already come for Israel, but could come for Judah as well if they didn't get right, if they didn't return to God, if they didn't take the warnings that were written across the sky and all the different things that were going on and what had happened in other people's lives. Folks, I don't think we understand. Listen, we're not some special nation. If we don't simply obey God's word and do his will, we will be just like any other nation. The thing that makes our Constitution special is that it was founded upon the word of God, and it is completely inept or unable to sustain itself without a moral people backing it, living and good and moral people. Not only did our founders know that, but we as Christians should know that above all. And again, the answer is not a politician to come in and write more laws. The greatest law that's ever been written is written here. And as a Christian, it should be written upon your heart. To rule you and to guide you in morality. This morning, again, I will say this, and my heart breaks for America today. I desire for it to be what it could be if it turned back to God. Let's pray together before we dive into the scripture. Dear Lord, we come to you and we pray for our nation. Lord, we're thankful that we still see people saved. And Lord, we are still a small remnant of people that are called out and set apart. And we are called your church in this age to do the work of God and to live. But Lord, we would desire that our nation, that we would humble ourselves as your people. And that, Lord, that we would see people in a nation turn back to God through salvation. That they would turn to the loving God and they would be a moral people, Lord. And I believe that the simple steps of revival are laid out in your scripture, Lord. And I believe if as a nation, as people, as God's people, if we began that, a revival began with us, we could see a revival across our nation in this late age before you come. God, I pray that you'd help us to be that spark, to be that one. Lord, help us to be obedient in sincerity and truth that would spark a revival across our nation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 1, I want you to see here, and for the tape room and for everybody's sake, I was afraid. Now, you know, and when I teach junior church, I have a lot of illustrations and things. And I brought some today, but I'm not sure I'm going to use them all, but there's one that I think you're going to miss. So if you'll take your Bibles and you'll go to Isaiah chapter 1, I want you to look in verse number 4. Isaiah, again, writes to the nation of Israel in context, but we can take and apply this to our admonition as a nation today that has turned away from God. He begins the verse and says, "Ah, sinful nation." A-H is a word in the 1828 dictionary that is really defined as a sigh. It's a word. It's not just noise that comes out, but it's a word that is recorded, and it is Almighty God's. This is His word. He speaks to His prophet, Isaiah. And if there was anything, listen, if any nation could be categorized as a sinful nation, you are living in one. And the God of heaven, just like He did so many years ago when He penned this down for His nation, sighs in heaven when He sees what we do and how we act and what we've been given in truth. So today, the title for the tape room and for everybody else, I'm going to show it to you. I'm afraid you'll miss it. America. It's a sigh. We ought to come to a place where, as Americans, we realize that instead of the great America that we used to be, when God speaks out to us, He goes, "America." The definition of in the 1828 dictionary is simply this: an exclamation, an expression of pity, look at this, complaint, contempt, or dislike. When God looks down from heaven, and instead of seeing a nation that was laid its foundation down on the Bible, now He sees a one that is tearing and nipping and pulling at the foundation that was laid for it. Brother Wiebe had to come up, and again, to people who are in church today, and let you know that we are not a democracy, but we are a republic. It is sad that we realize that we are getting brainwashed every time we turn the television on, and everybody, every time anyone in the news uses the term that they're pulling down our democracy. They are lying to the American people. They're using a terminology that is from a leftist crowd that is telling you that they're in the rulership or mob rule. If they can get the most people to vote for them, that's what a democracy is. Benjamin Franklin, after coming out of the Constitutional Congress, when asked what type of government that they would give, by the way, they couldn't come to any decision in the Constitutional Congress. And Benjamin Franklin, who was in the back, said that they needed to pray and beg God. And it was only after prayer that they got their minds together in the mind of Christ and penned what we now have as a constitution. Walking out of that room, he spoke to the person that asked what form of government they were going to give us in the Constitution. And he said, "We've given you a republic if you can keep it." Folks, you do realize any form of government that is handed down is one that has to be kept by the people. A law is only as good as the people that will keep it. Laws are made for the unruly so that they might be punished, but a group of people that will just simply obey the laws of God wouldn't need a country to write laws. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, we live in a day. Read verse 4 with me. I want you to see here. He says, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters, that have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backwards." really, I want you to see here, he comes to a place where he says, you've provoked. Have we not, as a nation, not just gone beyond being sinful, but gone to a place where we have provoked God to anger? We have fully taken prayer and Bible out of the Christian, out of public schools, and now Christian schools are doing it. How can you be a Christian school and not have prayer and Bible? Folks, I'm just telling you, we come to a place where it's we've lost some sense. And he goes on and tells us that in verse 5. Why should ye be stricken anymore? The idea here is that God is our Father and we are His children. And stricken just means provoked to do right. We provoke God to action to provoke us to do right. You say, well, see, you know, when things go right and everything goes good in the country, doesn't mean that those are God's blessings. We're quick to get on that. When the stock market goes up, we think everything is okay. God must be happy with us. That is not always the way it works. It may be that you've provoked God and pushed Him so far that God is at a place now where He's tired of talking to you. He's tired of telling you and trying to turn you back and trying to get your attention. He says, why should ye be stricken? That is God of heaven, the Holy One of Israel, that says, why should I continue to try to get your attention to do right? He goes on, he says, ye, because if I do, ye will revolt more and more. That's what he said of Israel. God help that would be true of America. Rather than turn to Him and be revived or be restored or have revival in our own lives, we would revolt more and more if God's got our attention. If God pushed back while we push against His law and His word, would we not listen and turn to Him? He says, you revolt. He said, the whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. Every person that has ever left God and changed the way that they believe, it first starts in their heart and it makes its way to their head. Stinking thinking changes the way that they acted, but it was all a heart decision and they changed their mind. Many of you know people who used to live, act, work, and be and live Christianity. If it ever was true, it is still true in our age. But we live in a day and age where even those that are fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptists continue to water down this book. They continue to water down this word. They continue to water down. And listen, for all of us, it is not the world that will repent and come back to God and change everything and be blessed of God to be able to win souls and see a revival in our country. It's God's people. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and I will hear their land. Do you realize sometimes we get on everybody outside these walls? And more than anything, what would have been popular and got me a bunch of amens today is for me to rip on everybody that's in politics. But there is not one politician that will ever change anything except for the Lord Jesus Christ. And He ain't going to politic. He's going to come and rule and reign with a rod of iron. He won't get voted in. He'll shove His way in. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, instead of Him having to shove His way to rule and reign over your heart, why don't you let Him rule and reign you today? Why don't you get a heart to live for the things of God? Why don't you get a heart today to turn America around? Instead of just praying, why don't you turn back to God and live the way you used to live 20 years ago? Now, I'm just going to tell you, this is unpopular. I know right now I'm making some of you upset. All right? Don't get upset with me. I serve a God who's the Holy One of Israel. If you want to get mad, you can get mad with Him. But I don't think it's a good idea. Folks, He says, the whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. The description of the nation that we currently live in, the head of our nation, we would say, listen, it's a republic. It's supposed to be people. But the people that we put in office to lead things ought to be the ones that are the head. I'm going to tell you, the whole head is sick. It don't matter what party they're in. The whole head is sick. And if it came to it today, if we had to put on the uniform and we had to go to bat for our nation, I'm going to tell you, It's a small remnant of people that would go. There's a small remnant of people that would stand up and defend her like we once had people to do. Folks, I'm telling you, the heart is faint. This idea that we're split down the middle of somebody standing up and putting America first. Are you kidding me? That's your nation. That's the country that you live in. Folks, I'm just telling you, we got to come back to a place where we realize, he says, from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, in verse 6, there is no soundness in it. Soundness just means that it's stable, it's solid, it's ready to go forth. And he goes on and he says here, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither, look at, mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it. Does that not sound like our nation? In your presence, the strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughters of Zion is left as a cottage in the vineyard. He begins to change gears. He, number one, says, ah, sinful nation. That's the first point. Can we all agree in the first point? You know, preaching, I'm going to give you a secret. Preaching is to help you come to a decision. Can we all decide that we live in a sinful nation? The second point is that God has left a remnant of people inside that nation. People that know God and that will live for Him. Listen, it's smaller than it used to be. You know, we all talk about the glory days of the past. Listen, that generation has passed us by. And even though, listen, I'm just going to tell you where we're at today. We are in the last, and we are not left behind with the rapture. But we are the small remnant that is left that will, in sincerity and truth, worship God on a weekly basis. There are people all over our country that go into churches, and they invest their time, much of the time, in worshiping something other than God. Sometimes they worship music. Sometimes they worship their praise. Sometimes they worship the coffee shop in the lobby. Sometimes they worship the bread or the smoothie they can get in the lobby. You say, are you against coffee and smoothies in the lobby? No. All right, but I don't think people ought to be out there when the preaching of God is going on. I don't think people, listen, I'm for coffee. Amen. It helps me not be angry with the world every minute of the day. When I wake up, amen, and I can collect myself and not just be angry with the world, amen. Are you for smoothies? No, but you can have one. All right, I'm not for one, but I'm just telling you, why in the world have we come to a place where we try to replace the things of God? The church is not a place to entertain. The church is a place to hear from the Word of God. It's a place to worship God. It's a place to, in song, to worship God and to praise His holy name. If we get so caught up in our praising that we forget where we are and who we're praising, then that's not praise or worship. By the way, I'll just say this. God's plan is the tithe. You know that when the plate comes by, God has said that's His. Now, I'm not preaching that because I want you to put something in the plate. I'm preaching that because God said He'd drill holes in your pocket if you didn't give. For all of us, by the way, just let me tell you, when the markets go bad and everything, you know, that ain't always because of some bad ruler. Sometimes that's because God's people aren't obedient to God. And God has taken a ruler, a wicked ruler, to drill holes in your pockets. He can steal it through taxes. God doesn't always literally have to cut a hole in your pocket. He can take it in multiple different ways. Folks, we sometimes don't realize when God is strickening us and trying to reach us. As a small remnant, whose attention is God trying to get? Is He trying to get the world's attention? Or is He trying to get His people and the small remnant's attention to come back to Him to be able to win the lost world to Christ? He's speaking to us. He's speaking to you and me. He's saying, come back to us. He says here, what are we really? He says, and the daughter of Zion. He's speaking to Israel specifically, but put it in context for America. And the daughters of Zion is left as a cottage in the vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. He's saying that we used to be this big group of people that lived for God and were right, and we could name off so many places. Now it's hard to name off a bunch of places. If somebody moves out of the area to give them a good church that practices just like our church does, in faith and practice, you say, we are not the only one left, folks, but I'm telling you, it's getting harder and harder to tell people where they can go to church, because if they want something just like this, there ain't anything like this everywhere. You say, folks, you're trying to, you got to, no, I don't want to have it cornered. We got a Bible college and we train young people and send them out. We're constantly trying to do what God commanded us to do and reproduce ourselves. But we can't reproduce right now as fast as people are falling. Folks, we live in a day and age, we're a sinful nation. And there's a small remnant. Look at what God says in verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant. And don't pat yourself on the back. The small remnant is God's doing too. If I could stand here and tell you just how much I'm so thankful to the Almighty God, who in His mercy and grace, the reason I preach today is not because of some choice I made or because of my goodness. It's only by the grace of God. It is only because of a holy God, the Holy One of Israel, who chose to keep a small remnant to Himself. It's only by the grace of God. If I could walk you through all the things and so many of the things, even 30 years of marriage that we'll celebrate tonight, can I just be honest with you? I was ignorant of so many things that I need to do and do right, and God watched over me and helped me and guided me. I had sincerity and truth, but I'm just going to tell you, folks, that if you don't listen, marriage, nation, Christian life, all of it is work. All of it is putting in the time and investing yourself. And we live in a nation, a sinful nation, that has let itself go and done what it's wanted to do. And many marriages, families, and churches look and are the result of not simply just paying attention to what God says. Because except God, except the Lord of hosts, had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom. You know what happened to Sodom, don't you? God judged it by fire from heaven. Fire and brimstone rained down upon it. He says, and He splits it up for you, because most of us don't realize it was two cities, not just called Sodom and Gomorrah. It was Sodom and Gomorrah, two side-by-side cities that God destroyed and should have been like unto Gomorrah. He says in verse 10, how is it that you became a small remnant? If you don't think that this Old Testament scripture has New Testament boundaries, look at verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? He speaks to them and he says the one thing that changed and made the small remnant what it is by faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you know that everybody that's ever done right, what they got is they listened, and the Spirit of God that came into them. I'm going to tell you, you know, there was a day in my life that I had heard the preaching and heard the preaching, and I heard the Word of God, and one day I chose to obey the simple teachings of the Scripture, that I could call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And once I got saved, I got the Holy Spirit of God that came in and indwelled me as a believer. He saved me, He cleansed me, and then He empowered me to begin to keep the word that I had heard, to begin to obey the things that I had never had power to do before. The small remnant, you say, well, how can we make a change? Well, you only got the biggest thing that they don't have out in the world is that when you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit of God to indwell and live in you and give you a power to live and love and work like nobody else in this world. I had no power to live, and I had no power to be saved. I had no power to do those things, but God sent His Son to die on Calvary and to pay my sin debt, to redeem me back into Himself, and then He sealed me or gave me a sanctification inside of me by the Holy Spirit of God. And even today, you say, what does He do? He speaks to my heart. The same way I hope that He's speaking to your heart today. He encourages me not to be what I was yesterday, to be me more like Jesus every day, according to the Word of God. He says, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? Do you know most of the people today, and He goes through, and for time's sake, you can go back and read these scriptures, but He goes through about how they kept feasts and new moons and how they kept all these different sacrifices. And He said, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, He said, what is the purpose of this? What is the purpose if your purpose isn't really to live for God? If you they kept all these things because they were ritualistic. And I believe that if we're not careful, just like the people of Israel, instead of being people who are really sanctified and set apart to the Lord and wanting to live for Him, we're a small remnant of people who all we do is just come to church every week, and we got to put in our sacrifices, we got to keep the new moons, we got to do the things because they're regimented things that if I don't do them, I'm going to be in trouble. Hey folks, I'm just going to tell you, we come to church because we need it, not because we're punching our God card on Sunday, that you got to come in and hit your time card, because if you don't, you'll feel a little bad about it. Hey, you ought to come because you need it. You ought to show up on Sunday because you want to take something home with you that you didn't have before. It's something that God spoke to your heart and you changed about yourself. That's what this place ought to be. It's not just for lost people who need to be saved, although it is for you. But it's for God's people. How have we come to a place as a small remnant of people that think that we've attained or that we are so puffed up that we don't need to change? It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. If you came this morning and you thought to yourself, I have no need of being in church except to punch my time clock to be with God so that He's not mad with me, you've got another thing coming. And the person that's being preached to this morning is you. The person in need of revival is you. If this morning the thought in your brain at this moment is, this is a good message for so-and-so, the message is to you. We are the remnant. We are the one that God needs to speak to. We are the ones in need of revival. We are the ones that stand in need of prayer. God help that we'd ever come to a place as God's small remnant, then instead of saying, ah, America, He says, ah, Landmark. That He sighs when He thinks about His church that He purchased with His own blood. Because of the way we live or because of the way we practice what Jesus left His church to practice. We live in a day and age I never want to see. I want God to look at His church and say, they're faithful. Look at that. I have a remnant of people who are living and loving me and practicing and working to be with, in spirit and in truth. See, I believe if we're not careful, we'll come to a place as a small remnant because we are set apart and that God has done this with us. We think we're something because we've got it locked down. Do you know our desire ought to be for everybody to have what God has given us? We ought to desire that every nation, every state in our union, we ought to couple with places like New Mexico with people who desire to continue as a small remnant. Do you know those people? Listen, you're going to hear the testimonies. They've been there 50 years. There are folks just like our place that used to run the bus routes, but they can't run them no more. And they are desperately in need to grow their small remnant of people so that young people would step up and take the bus routes. That young people would get their license and run the bus routes. That young people would be burdened and trained for the ministry. That young people would step up and be what so many of the folks with gray hair have been through the generations. A small remnant has to reproduce itself. It has to have revival. God help us God, help us if we ever enter into an age where we don't do those things. We are not what God wants us to do. Lastly, I want you to see this. If you'll move down with me for time, I'll move. I want you to see this, and we'll be done. I just want you to be able to see, lastly, there is a solid solution. That A-H, that sigh, do you know that we have a solid solution on how to be right with God? How to walk with Him? How we as God's people, how do we on a weekly basis, once we hear the Word of God and we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, what am I supposed to do now, preacher? I'm not on track. Or what is it? What is the process of being right with God and living for Him? Look at what he says in verse 16. He says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Do you know, when we have an inborn desire to put things away and to get it away from us, usually the quickest thing that happens in a Christian, it doesn't mean that we're not tempted to do it, but the first thing is getting it out of our lives. And it happens on the outside. You say, well, I thought it had to happen. Yes, when Jesus comes in and he gets on the inside, then the outside ought to change. You say, does that happen automatically? No. Folks, when you wash your hands, you can't always wash all of you at once, can you? You got to start by scrubbing, and it takes time. And it's no different in the Christian life. When you begin and you set out, you start looking at what needs to be clean, and you begin to put the evil away from yourself, to separate yourself from it. When God reveals that it's evil and you can see it, look at what he says in verse 17. If I'm going to put away the evil, then I got to fill that gap and the things that used to be in my life with something that's good. When I quit listening to bad music, I got to put good music in my life. When I quit reading the bad books, I got to start reading the good book. When I quit watching the bad shows, which are all of them, I got to start putting good things in front of my eyes. He says, learn to do well. Folks, just let me tell you this. How many of us could say, I know everything God has to teach me in His Word? None of us. There's a lot of learning for all of us to do, of how to do all things well. Why would we want to learn how to do things well? You know, every word in this book is perfect because if I'm going to learn how to hear well done, I got to learn to do well. If that should be the desire of every Christian's heart, to one day stand before Jesus Christ and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well, let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of washing involved in that. Washing and washing and washing. When God shows you there's an area of evil or wrong in your life, you ought to clean it up. And then you ought to learn how to do well in that area. He goes on and he says, seek judgment. Seek judgment. I don't want God to judge me. Well, what does God say about this? If I'm gonna learn what the law is, I got to find out and seek judgment. Do you know how much of the Old Testament, the psalmist, once they've washed themselves clean, that same David that fell with Bathsheba in the other area said, search me. Search me, because he didn't clean himself. God cleaned him up. Folks, wouldn't it be great to have a walk with God in a way where you could ask God to search your life to help you find what's need to be cleaned? Most of us know we could make a list without asking God. Wouldn't it be good that once you've cleaned that list up, that you ask God to teach you the things that still need to come out? Most of the time we quit. When we're done, instead of asking God to reveal things to us, instead of seeking the judgment of God in our lives to help us clean up, we'll just move on. He goes on and he says, relieve the oppressed. You know, once I'm working on me, while I'm working on me, you know, there are a bunch of oppressed people. You know, the sinners out in the world that are lost and on their way to hell, do you know they're under oppression every day? And we like to think that we need to go around to the world and all the people that aren't free like us as Americans. Folks, that's not what it's talking about. Do you know the greatest load or freedom that anyone has ever found has been found in Jesus Christ? And there are people oppressed all over the world by Satan, and what they need to hear is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Judge the fatherless. That doesn't mean to throw the hammer down on them. It means to look at them and see what they need, and then lift them up in their sin and where they are. Plead for the widow. The Bible lays out a way that we can live and learn to do well and lays it out in three steps. It's it for ourselves, for others that are lost, and then for people that are fatherless in the house of God and those widows. Always taking care of people that always can't take care of themselves. And he goes on and he says, come now. Hey, that means go to church. Where are you going to meet together with God? In his house. In his people, in the small remnant. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. We ought to come to this place on a Sunday and not only be preaching so we can wash ourselves and be clear, but we ought to be able every week, the Bible being preached gets us all on the same mindset. And we take the book and we preach the mind of Christ in print so that we can all be on the same page. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. I still serve a God, you still serve a God that has the power to take the worst sins, the darkest sins, and make them white as snow. You say, you don't know what I've done since I've been saved. It don't matter. God says, if your sins are as scarlet, I can make them as white as snow. See, people think, sometimes we get and we put a barrier up and we put limitations on God that God has never put on us. And we think because of our past or things that are going on or even our physical ability that God cannot use us. And you are the one that is limiting God because God says, come now. Don't wait. Don't try to talk yourself out of it. You come to me now and let us reason together. Let me tell you what you still can do for me. Let me tell you what you still can do for your country. Let me tell you what you can do to be a part of the solution and not the problem. God only has solutions. We bring him our problems. We bring him our brokenness. We bring him the pieces and God puts it back together. Romans 8:28 is still in the book, folks. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, God can take the things that we could never believe that God could use for his honor and glory, and he takes them and uses them for his honor and glory. I still have enough faith in God to believe that this nation could be great again. And not a world power to show everything with the dollar and everything that politicians mean by making America great again. I'm talking about the nation that was once good, and she was great because she was good. I believe it's a simple solution coming unto God. I believe we can go back home and meet with the Father and the Holy One of Israel instead of America. He could say, America, I can use you again. America, you can be great again. America, the one that sent missionaries around the world. Do you know? We used to be number one in so many things. And the one that's probably the most disheartening to me is we used to be the number one nation in the world that sent missionaries around the world. And we're not number one anymore. And if we're not careful, we'll watch more of the Olympics than we will pray that God would use us to send missionaries. We'll watch more about how we're going to place and how many gold medals we'll get for who put the fastest, the best team, you know, water polo. Folks, I'm just telling you, all those things will not matter in eternity. What will matter is souls. And this small remnant, his church, let us come now and reason together. Let's hear God's word. Let the Old Testament admonish us to band together, to not worry about other churches, but Landmark Baptist Church have revival inside itself. Return. You say revive from what? From being lackadaisical. You say, we're about souls. Yes, but are we about souls like we could be? We're about running buses. Yeah, but are we running what we could run? Are we seeing souls saved like we could if we were serious and sold out and believed that Jesus could come at any moment? America. Let me just ask you. Did God speak to your heart today? Because as a church, we all have to choose as individuals whether we will be revived, whether we'll draw a circle around ourselves and say, God, if nobody else is going to follow you in obedience and sell out to you, I'm going to sell out. Wouldn't it be great if our church just sells out for God? Every member, every person, it changed everything. It wouldn't just change us. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves. Do you know that's always the start? Come now, that's a humbling experience, that I need to go to God, that I need to come back to Him and pray. That's something, listen, that's a qualification that everyone, no matter what your physical ability is, you can meet that requirement. You can call out to God and then seek my face. Do you know that that doesn't take moving? It doesn't take you getting up and leaving. It means opening this book and seeking the face of God, coming face to face with the realities that God's got the answer. He has a simple solution. Wash, learn of me, and come to me. Folks, today God met us right in the road, right where we live. How was he gonna, is it gonna be when he returns for his church, America? Or would it be the one place, a shining light, that stood for the faith, would be our nation? And if nothing else, right here in the center of the state of Florida, that we're that people. If you're here today and you're not saved, listen, you heard the word of God. You've heard about Jesus and what he did for you on Calvary. And all you need to do to be saved is to call upon him in salvation. We could take the Bible and show you how you can know that. If you're a Christian and you've already accepted Jesus Christ, maybe you need to come and meet with him today. He says, come now. Don't put it off till tomorrow. If God speaks to your heart, you do business with him today. As the musicians make their way, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed in the auditorium, is there one that would say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Is there anybody like that today that would slip their hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know that I'd spend eternity in heaven for a Bible reason. Is there a hand like that anywhere? All right, I'm going to pray. Let's stand to our feet. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd help God's people to do what it is that you've spoken to them to do. Lord, I pray that our people would step out and pray for their nation. Lord, I pray that we'd have people that would choose to change some things in their lives for your sake. And it would help our nation. God, I pray if there's one that doesn't know Christ as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Would you step out and come?